My name is Juanita O'Hearn, Nita O'Hearn, and I am scripture reader today. We are reading John 13, 34 through 35, and 1 Corinthians 12, 22 through 26. John 13. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest of care. So be careful. We protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together, such with extra honor and care, are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes the harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And good morning. Happy Valentine's Eve. I like all the red out there. Yay! This is the month of love. In fact, Hallmark is having changed the name of February to Loveuary. So happy Loveuary month, everybody. And I am Pastor Kathy Hart. I'm the associate minister here. And it is my pleasure to be bringing you the message this morning. We are in our second week of a series, How I Love You. How I Love You. And the focus of this series is how we love God. And last week we heard from Pastor Keith that by listening and doing what God asks us to do, that is one way that we show God that we love him. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And so this week, another way that we can show God that we love him, we just sang, God will take care of you, but by taking care of one another. That is another way that we can show God that we love him. Jesus gave us the commandment to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there are many ways that we can show this love to God. But Jesus made it pretty clear in a conversation that he was having with his disciples on a beach after the resurrection. They were out there fishing, and they were having a good time. And then he takes Peter, and he pulls him aside, and he says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And he asked him that three times, if you remember the story, three times, because Peter had denied Christ three times. But it's the second one that I want us to pay attention to this morning. In 21:16, here's the second time Jesus asks Peter. He says, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And what does Jesus say? Take care of my sheep. So by caring for one another, we are loving God at the same time. That's pretty cool. So there it is. Jesus has told us how we can love God. We take care of one another. And he told us, again, that great commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So when Nita read the scripture this morning from John 13, we might read that over and think it's a reiteration of the statement to love your neighbor. But is it really? I want to take a closer look at that this morning. Let me set it up for you what's happening before Jesus gives this new commandment. He is in the upper room with his disciples. This is before the crucifixion, before the arrest. And they're having the Passover meal, and this is where Jesus breaks the bread and passes it and says, do this in remembrance of me. And he takes the cup and he shares that with the disciples We do this every time we take communion. We remember this moment. And then at that time, Jesus shares with them, one of you is going to betray me. One of you will betray me. One of our intimate circle is going to change our community forever. And then Judas gets up and he leaves. And Jesus continues teaching and talking with his disciples. And he tells them, I'm not going to be with you much longer. They're kind of all shocked. What? Where are you going? You can't leave us. We're just building this wonderful community, and we're learning, and we're healing, and we're doing miracles with you, and it's just, you can't leave. And then, this is when Jesus says, a new commandment I'm going to give to you. And in John 13, 34, he says this, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. So how is this new? It's a new commandment. It's not the commandment of love your neighbor as yourself. This is a new one. What's new is it says love each other. You are a community. You are one. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should be loving each other. He knew what was going to happen. He knew he was leaving, and he was saying, take care of each other. I'm not going to be here anymore. You're going to need to lean on each other. You're going to be going through some difficult times, and you need each other. Take care. And then he says this, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Their community of how they are caring for one another is a witness to the world. Our community of how we care for one another is a witness to the world. Tertullian is a first century theologian, and he said that he heard the pagans of his time refer to the Christians of his time in this way. See how they love one another. See how they love one another. I wonder what the pagans of our time are saying about Christians today. When they see us, are they saying that? Gandhi made a statement that has resonated with me for a long time since I heard it. Gandhi said, I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. I know, ouch. But is there truth to that statement? And it is unfortunate that there is truth in that. So this commandment, this new commandment that Jesus is giving to us is to love one another, to become a community of care. Yes, in other places, Jesus says, love your neighbor, love your enemies. You know, in many ways, it's much easier to love our enemies than those that we are in close relationship with because we don't have to deal with them every day, most of the time. But this is specific. This was important. Jesus said this because he knew that they needed each other. And my friends, we need each other too. So how, if we're supposed to love like Jesus loves, what does that look like? William Barclay says there are four ways that Jesus loved that we can try to emulate. Selflessly, understandingly, forgivingly, and sacrificially. Selfishly means that we put aside self. We think of others first. Now, as good as we might be or think we might be, we are still human. And there, maybe it's subconscious, but there's that little element of what's in this for me? Jesus never thought that way. He never loved that way. He loved unconditionally and selflessly. Jesus also loved understandingly. I love St. Francis. He's one of my favorite theologians. And in his prayer of peace, he said, "Seek first to understand, then be understood." So often we make assumptions or judgments about people before we ever have the opportunity to really get to know what's going on. Everybody has something happening in their life. And we never know what that is because we all go on and go about our life. And unless we get to know a person and understand where they're coming from and how they're thinking and what they feel, we truly cannot love them fully and care for them fully. It is much easier to make a judgment and an assumption than to care. Forgivingly, Peter denied Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus. We have fallen short of what Jesus wants us to be, and he knows it. And yet he loves us, and he cares for us, and he asks us to do the same. I was at a conference a few weeks ago in January. It was a virtual conference, and there were two speakers who were talking about conflict in church staff. That never happens, right? Never happens. So they were saying, these were the two pastors, and they said the story of two great friends is the story of two great forgivers. Sit with that for a minute. The story of great friends is the story of two great forgivers. Jesus is a great forgiver, amen? And the last is sacrificially. Jesus gave his life. He gave the ultimate price for us. And dying to self, putting others first, is a way that we can love sacrificially. But one commentary that I read said this, and I want to share this with you. To love one another as Jesus loves us does not automatically translate to one believer's death for another, nor does it mean to deny oneself for others. That's a little contrary, isn't it? It says, rather, to love one another as Jesus loves us is to live a life thoroughly shaped by a love that knows no limits. Let me say that again. To love one another as Jesus loves us is to live a life thoroughly shaped by a love that knows no limits. What love knows no limits? God's love. And we are vessels of that. We can't do this under our own human power, but this love that knows no limits shapes our lives. And it is a love whose expression brings the love that carries with it the whole new concept of the possibilities of community. Community. We are one. One with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Though we are different in our thoughts, our opinions, our looks, our ways of being, our jobs, our whatever, we are a diverse community, but we are one in Christ. There's a South African philosophy that describes such a community, and it is called Ubuntu. It states, "I am because we are." I am because we are. We are one, one body. And we need each other. Archbishop, Archbishop Desmond Tutu said this of Ubuntu: a person with Ubuntu is open and available to others, affirming of others, does not feel threatened that others are able and good, for he or she has proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs to the greater whole and is diminished and humiliated when others are diminished or humiliated. Now that statement right there reminded me of our scripture from 1 Corinthians 12. 12:26 says this: if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And when one part is honored, all parts are glad. Ubuntu, we are one. We are in community together. We respect one another. We support one another. We encourage one another. We sympathize and empathize with each other. We are the body of Christ. But we are not all the same. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the rich diversity of the body of Christ, and he compares it to the human body, that all parts are different, but all parts are important. Not everybody can be the heart, not everybody can be an ear, not everybody can be the hands and feet of Jesus. And then our scripture from this morning starts in verse 22. And it says, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should be seen or should not be seen, while at the same time, the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put together the body such that extra honor and care are given to those with less dignity. Now, Paul here is talking about the physical human body. Some parts only seem weak and less important. Put that into body of Christ thought. Are there members of our congregation that are weak and in need of more care than the rest of us? In these verses, Paul is talking about the human body, but each part requires special care. And each member of our congregation, of our community of faith, needs special care. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other, each according to their needs. Ubuntu. We are all equally important, but we are all uniquely different. Our needs are different. How we receive those needs and care is different. But Christ says we must love each other equally. I love that last verse in 25. This makes for the harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. Diversity, however, can create division. But diversity can also create unity. Warren Wiersbe says this: diversity leads to disunity when members compete with one another, but diversity leads to unity when members care for one another. Back to what Jesus said to Peter: take care of my sheep. Love one another as I have loved you. Friends, we fall short of this every day. We say things, we think things, we do things that show disrespect to our fellow believers. What witness is that to the world? Paul wrote words of warning in many of his letters, in Corinthians, in Galatians, in Colossians, and in Ephesians, about such things. And when we compete or act in ways that cause division, it grieves the Holy Spirit. So hear these words from Paul this morning. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you." How does Christ love? Forgivingly, sacrificially, selflessly, understandingly. I'm going to go back through that. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building others up. You know, we never know who is listening to us when we're speaking. What are the conversations around the building, around the holy grounds, in the lobby? Are we building each other up and representing a caring community? And do we grieve the Holy Spirit? I must confess that sometimes I do. And the Holy Spirit convicts me of it. Friends, this is what it means to be in a caring community. Kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and care. Our vision is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we can do that as we grow as a community that cares for one another. I want the Tertullians of Palm Harbor to be hearing from the pagans of Palm Harbor, "Those people at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church really care for one another. I want to be a part of that." I have to say that I find our church to be a caring church. I've been here, believe it or not, almost 16 years. I have felt loved and supported and cared for, and I know many of you have as well. But friends, we're not perfect. And there's still room to grow. There's still room to improve. But some of the things that we do great, small groups here care for one another. They pray for each other. They provide help and need and rides when others need it. This is how it's supposed to work. Congregational care is everybody's job. It's a caring community. Jesus didn't say, "Peter, I want you to care for everybody. It's your job." Keith and I are two people, and we can't do it all. There is a great story that I love in Exodus, where Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, goes to visit Moses, and he watches him in kind of a day in the life of Moses. And he's watching as Moses sits before the people, and there's this big, huge, long line, and all day long, Moses is solving all the problems of the people. So at the end of the day, they're having dinner and they're having a conversation, and Moses says, "So, what'd you think?" And Jethro, being the wise father-in-law, gives him great advice, and he says, "What you're doing is really wrong. You are going to burn yourself out, and you're going to burn your people out." The person at the very end of that line, at the end of the day, has been waiting all day, frustrated. No, this is not good. We have a care ministry here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church, and you're going to meet the team today. But it is not their job to do it all either. Our team is here to support you as you care for one another. This group is formerly known as Stephen Ministers. We've been around for a long time, and we're here to provide care and compassion. The care ministers are here to support you as you care for one another, and they're not counselors, but they have gone through training in how to be good listeners, how to pray with you, how to be present with you. Our phrase for years, our motto, has been listen and love. And one of the greatest ways that we can care for one another is to be there, to be present. Sometimes you just need someone who's going to listen and sit with you. The care ministry is confidential. We want you to be able to trust. But here is the important thing to note. I am looking across the room, and I'm looking online. Every single member here is part of the care team. We are here as a community to care for one another. We are all the body of Christ, and it is everyone's responsibility. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one grieves, when one is honored, we all rejoice. When one grieves, we all grieve together. That's a caring community. Now, I know many of you know that Marilyn King has been the face of congregational care here for many years. Marilyn retired in June. And so we have been working to redesign and recommit this care ministry to you. Marilyn is still very much a part of it. She's one of our care ministers. But I am now the point person for congregational care. If you have a need, please share that with me. And one of the things I'm going to ask of small groups and choir and any group, wingmen, all of the groups that we have, I'm going to be reaching out to you because I want to have a point of contact in every group so that I can make sure that I am supporting you as you are supporting your members. We are here to help one another. So at this time, I want you to meet your care ministry team of 2022. And there have been a few that have gone through training this year. I hope to offer a new training. If all the care ministers will come forward, please, and come up onto the steps at this time. Don't make me call you out, because I can see you. But these are people who have committed to be part of the team to support you as you support and care for one another. We're going to pray over them. We're going to commission them for the work that they have been called to do this morning.
We're thankful for these people that are caring for their community. Most of these people have been cared for and so feel blessed to care for you. Amen. So reach out a hand. Reach out a hand as we pray for them. And in retrospect, we are praying for those that we should care for. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for these, your servants. We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to them. You have spoken to them through your word, and you have commissioned them already to be your carers and to be the people that are your hands and feet, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, which is a caring and loving and shepherding spirit. And we pray, Lord, as they reach out to people in need, as they reach out to people who need caring for, we pray, Lord God, that would be your very presence with the people who are being cared for. We pray, Lord God, that these would be your vessels so that they might have a life-changing relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, for the many images we have of care. We thank you for the emoji with the caring hands. And when we see that, may we think of caring for our members here at Palm Harbor. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name, and all the people said, amen. Amen.